Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Praise God. It's wonderful. Good atmosphere. Amen. Praise God. Our Father, which art in heaven. And when you think about that, what do you think? What are you thinking? Our Father, who art in heaven. Wow. He sits on the throne that's established forever. He looks like a jasper or a diamond. He's light. He looks like a sardius or a ruby. He's love. And he has an emerald rainbow around his throne. Green, life. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. How many of the names of God do you know in the Bible that God has revealed himself to you? Has there been a time in your life where you lacked and you found out he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord whose provision is seen? Has there been a time where you've experienced the miraculous provision of God come through just in the nick of time? Raise your hand if you have. Is that you? Wow. So he's definitely that. Has there been a time in your life where you discovered he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee? Have you experienced his healing? Have you experienced his supernatural peace at a time when everything around you was being shaken up and you experienced Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is my peace? Praise God. Raise your hand and testify. Amen. Praise God. Or the presence of God. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jehovah Shammah, hallowed be thy name. The Lord is with me. Never leaves me nor forsakes me. Have you ever experienced the victory of God to come and fight a battle for you that you could not fight on your own? You're kind of like David and the giant. You know good and well, there's no way. There's just no way I can defeat this thing on my own. But God shows up and fights your battle for you, and you find out he's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is my victory. He wins the victory, and he shares it with you, and he lets you claim it yourself. Praise God. Or have you ever had supernatural guidance in your life? Jehovah Rohi, the Lord who is my shepherd. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We ought to be experiencing things and take time to hallow the names of God. Just praise God for who he is, because who he has revealed himself to you as is what he wants to be in your life. He wants to be your righteousness, your sanctification, your peace, your provider, your healer, your shepherd, your victory. He wants to be that manifested in your life. And that'll happen as you pay attention. And then you come to that place where you get your priorities established. You realize why you're here. You're not here to get your mortgage paid off, raise the kids, raise the grandkids, or make a bunch of money. That's not your purpose. Your purpose is to bring thy kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost in your own heart and in your life and then into those around you. Thy kingdom come. Will of God be done. Declaration from a king who has authority to make that happen, and a priest who can declare it, and it is so under God. You declare that, you believe that, and then you watch it manifest. Your words are penetrating the devil's atmosphere, and he doesn't like it. You're an atmosphere changer. You're like the thermostat. You go in and you can change the atmosphere by your words and your presence. That's what you do. You're making a big difference, bigger difference than you realize here in this world. And people around you may not be telling you as often as they should, but you are making a big difference just by being salt and light. And then you come to the part where you can ask God now for your provisions. Your Heavenly Father already knows what you have need of before you ask. But he tells you, I want you to ask me. I want to be your provider. Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. And the first daily bread we ask for is for a word from God. Because all you need is one word from God. You live off of that. Food comes and goes. Money comes and goes. But a word from God will last forever. You can live off a word of God, man. That can make you or break you if you don't have it. So give us this day our daily bread. And then this Sunday, we're going to be talking about the freedom of forgiveness. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. You talk about freedom. Real freedom is found in when you're able to forgive your offender. And they no longer have any right to rent any space in your mind. They no longer have the power to torment you, agonize you, cause you grief. And we're going to talk about that this Sunday, so I'm looking forward to that. But tonight, I have a message from the Lord for you, and it's about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. Everybody say, the voice of the Lord. What's the difference between the word of the Lord and the voice of the Lord? You ever think about that? You hear him talking to you. Mm-hmm. See, the word of the Lord is this Bible here. That's the word of the Lord. We can quote the word of the Lord. But the voice of the Lord is when the Spirit is talking to you. The Spirit of God. And tonight we're talking about the voice of the Lord. And specifically, what is that? Do I need to adjust that this way maybe? Better? Better?
Closer to your cheek, please.
Like this? Tell me yes, no.
I think that's better.
Can you hear me okay better?
Better. Can you hear me now?
All right. Good. Well, we want to make sure it's right. No sense up here me talking. You can't hear me, right?
What?
What? I love this phrase that Jesus said over 16 times. He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I love that. Implying that our relationship with God is to be one that we can hear him talk to us personally. We don't live off past words he's spoken. We live off the right now word he's speaking. You know that God's speaking to you right now? Do you really believe that? It's interesting that when Jesus said that, the last eight times that he mentions it, he adds what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Because Jesus left the earth and the Holy Spirit is here. So he's implying to us that you and I are to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. It's important to hear the Holy Spirit. He lives on the inside of you if you're born again. Here's a confession I want you to say out loud with me. Let's say this together. Holy Spirit, come on, say it with me. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are with me. You will guide me into all truth if I listen and obey. I know you are guiding me into the will of God. I will hear your voice and follow where you lead me. Amen. I have you say that because you're reinforcing something in the part of your will that needs to be reinforced. You're reinforcing truth. I will hear God. Not I'm going to try to hear God, but I will hear God. You're created for that purpose. And so the voice of the Lord is to come to you supernaturally via the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Look at this. Even in the Old Testament, the people were expected to hear the voice of the Lord. Look in Deuteronomy 28, which is about the blessings and the curses. Deuteronomy 28, the word of the Lord says, now it will be if you diligently obey the what? The voice of the Lord, your God. Not the word of the Lord, but the voice of the Lord, your God. And be careful to do all of his commandments. Then the Lord God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, speaking to Israel. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Now say this part with me. If you listen to the voice of the Lord your God. I'm telling you, God is speaking. The question is, are we hearing? are we recognizing God is speaking? And I want you to note in that verse particularly, it's not the word of the Lord, it's the voice of the Lord. It's implying there has to be a deep, intimate relationship with you and God so you can hear and recognize his voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." Where is the Holy Spirit? If you're born again, where is he? Where is the Holy Spirit? He's in you, in your body. So you hear him from in here, not out there. You may hear something out there, but your spirit will pick up on and register that, that's the Spirit talking to me. Even though it may be coming from out there, you'll hear it from in here because that's where the Holy Spirit is. Getting ahead of myself a little bit, but you know, when you read the Bible or someone's reading the Bible to you, Rich, you could be reading the Bible to me. I could hear you reading the Bible to me, but I would hear the Spirit of the Lord or the voice of the Lord on the inside of me. While you're reading the Bible to me, I hear the voice of the Lord on the inside of me. There's something about the Word. He'll quicken something to me, and I'll go, oh, that's for me. Are you understanding? The voice of the Lord is something that you are to be listening for every day in your life. So hearing the voice of the Lord is a skill that is to be developed. The word hear in the Greek is the word akouo, from which we get our word acoustics. It's like a moment ago I had to adjust my microphone so you could hear me clearly. It's the acoustics in the room, the sound in the room. And we have to adjust our hearing of our spiritual ears to pick up on God's talking to me through a variety of ways. For example, you hear the voice of the Lord through the Bible. Amen? When you read the Bible, you should be hearing the voice of the Lord. You should read the Bible slowly, not as fast as you read a textbook or a story. You should read the Bible slowly. And while you're reading it slowly, you're also listening on the inside for the voice of the Lord. It may quicken something to you. It may show you something you just read and say, go back and read that again, or pick up a certain word or whatever it may be. So you hear the voice of the Lord through the Bible. Number two, you hear the voice of the Lord through preaching. How shall they hear without a preacher? God has chosen to use preaching as a means where you can hear the voice of the Lord. You hear the voice of the Lord through circumstances. We talked about this last week, where you can discern through circumstances. Maybe God's closing a door, maybe God's opening a door. You discern, you perceive. You hear the voice of the Lord through a still small voice, Elijah said. But remember Samuel the prophet? When Samuel the prophet was a little boy, his first experience of hearing God, he was in the temple, he was sleeping, and in the middle of the night he woke up, he thought he heard Eli, the priest, talking to him, and he ran into the room and said, what is it? You called my name. And he did that three times, and finally Eli, the priest, told him, hey, you know, I think you may be hearing God, so the next time you hear that, stop and say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. So he had to learn to hear and recognize the voice of the Lord, just like you and I. We have to learn to recognize the voice of the Lord. Sometimes it's a very still, small voice. Sometimes it may sound like it's an audible voice that you can hear. You recognize the voice of the Lord through peace or lack of peace. Just an inner knowing. You just know that God's talking to you, or you know that God's saying, don't go that direction. It's an inner knowing. And it's rare, but sometimes people do hear the audible voice of God. I can't say that I've heard the audible voice of God. Maybe some of you have, and I wouldn't deny that, because it's obviously, even in the New Testament, God does that, but it's rare. Another way you hear the voice of the Lord is through visions, through dreams, maybe a trance. We see that in the New Testament. God just opened up someone's heart and they were able to see things that they normally couldn't see or experience, sometimes in a dream. The voice of the Lord speaks to you through dreams. I have a lot of dreams. Almost every night I have some kind of a dream. I can't say all of them are God dreams, but the majority of them are God dreams. And sometimes it's just a very insignificant thing, a part of a dream. It's not like it has a deep, deep meaning. But God speaks through dreams, and you should pay attention to your dream. If you dream a lot or you remember dreams when you wake up in the morning or when you wake up in the middle of the night, you should have a notepad beside your nightstand so that you can at least jot down the gist of the dream so in the morning it jogs your memory, because otherwise it's sealed up and it's gone. You should keep a journal about dreams. Dreams are important. Sometimes God speaks to you through dreams during your sleep because that's the only time you're still enough where he can talk to you. True, or paying attention to it. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 17 on the screen. It says, in the last days, God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. I like to bring that up, especially when someone brings an issue to me from a traditional church that says that women can't preach or teach in church to men. I say, well, what about Acts 2:17? Some of the best preachers I know are women.
Amen.
Women can preach. All the men should be saying, amen. 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 And so he says, look, and your young men shall have visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I must be old because I'm dreaming a lot of dreams. It's okay. I'm dreaming a lot of dreams. And many of them are significant. I have a dear friend who called me this week. And for some reason, he thinks I have a gift of dream interpretation, which I don't think that I have. But he always calls me when he has a dream. He's a pastor. He says, I had this crazy dream. I know you know about dreams. Tell me about it. I said, I don't know anything about dreams. I just asked God. And said, you need to ask God, because when God's speaking to you through a dream, he's speaking your language. So if I interpret something as this means this, it may not be your language. So you need to talk to God and get the Holy Spirit to interpret your dream for you. So if you have a dream, don't run to somebody to get their interpretation. Go to the Holy Spirit first. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you dream a lot? That's awesome. That is wonderful. Then you have the potential to really have some extraordinary encounters with God in the night seasons. Your dreams. And I would say that if you dream a lot, it's quite well that there's a prophetic gift upon your life that God wants to develop. One of the signs of a prophet is that they dream a lot of dreams. And God speaks to you through pictures, through symbols, and through things. And so you need to keep exploring that avenue that God may want to use you in the prophetic in a stronger way. So there's other ways the voice of the Lord comes to us, through dreams and visions, through godly counsel and fellowship. Sometimes the voice of the Lord is just through the common sense of the body of Christ getting together. A multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. And God can speak, you can hear the voice of the Lord through just two or three people giving you godly counsel. Number next, through prophetic words, words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And then last but not least, I've given you 10. One is angelic encounters. The New Testament says that God does speak to people through angels. I would caution you with that, because Satan can come as an angel of light. And so, but it's not uncommon for God's people to have angelic encounters. And the Bible says in Hebrews, you should entertain strangers, because sometimes you don't realize it, but they're actually an angel. Now, would you be so honest and weird enough to raise your hand if this has happened to you? Have you ever encountered a human being that later on you wondered if that might have been an angel? Anybody? Look at all the weirdos in here. Wow. Me too. Yeah, me too. It's not uncommon. Many times angels, even in the Old Testament, they appeared in human form so as not to freak people out. And then people later on realize, wow, that was an angel. So it's not uncommon. God will speak to you, possibly through an angel. There are many voices in the world, and whatever voice is heard must be tested with Scripture and the love of God. When I say and the love of God, is this in keeping with the character of God? Is what I've heard, this dream I've had, is it in keeping with the character of the love of God? Because sometimes you can't find a Scripture to proof text an experience or a voice. Look at this verses in Romans chapter 10. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. How easy is that? Let's read on. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they what? Hear without a preacher. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And then he goes on a few verses later and says, so faith comes by, say it with me, and the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. You don't just hear it. It comes by hearing, present tense, ongoing action, hearing now. Faith does not come by having heard. Faith comes by hearing. Now, I'm going to say that again. Faith does not come by having heard. Faith comes by hearing right now. What's the Spirit saying to you? That's very important. And this is mentioned two times. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. And hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. Present tense, ongoing action. There should not be a day go by that you do not hear the voice of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you on the cross. Don't you think he wants to talk to you? Whatever you're concerned about, he's concerned about. Whatever's on your heart, he has. Some things, some wisdom to give you, to impart to you. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Interesting. The word for word of God, which you see on your screen, is the word rhema word, not the logos word. The word logos, L-O-G-O-S, is the written word. The word rhema literally means a word uttered by the living voice. So faith comes by hearing the word uttered by the living voice. The living voice, the Holy Spirit, is saying something to me. Question is, am I hearing? Hearing and hearing, present tense, right now, we should be able to hear the word uttered by the living voice, which is God. Note again, faith does not coming by having heard. It doesn't say faith comes by having heard. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing. Faith is trusting God. How can you trust God if you can't hear him? God wants you to trust him. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to be your healer. He wants to be your provider. He wants to be your protector. He wants to be your father. So faith does not come from having heard, but from hearing and hearing present now. So you keep on hearing. You wake up in the morning, I'm here to hear you, God. I'm listening. Peter Lord said something to me several years ago that just shocked me. I never forgot it. He said it near the end of his life. He said, my praying has changed. He said, I do more listening than I do praying now. I do more listening than I do talking. And that just kind of, I went, really? Wow. And he was just emphasizing how important it is for us to make sure that we're listening. The Spirit of God is talking. Do you know you can read this Bible over and over and over? You can read it through 100 times or however many, every year in your lifetime or every 6 months or every month if you so inclined. You could read this Bible over and over and over again, and you would hear something every time that you did not hear before. Amen. I see you nodding your head, because it's already happening.
Amen. All the time.
Why is that? Because it's a living book. The Word of God is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a living, breathing book. It's the voice of God. So when you read the Bible over and over, you should read it really slow. Slow down in reading the Bible purposely and be listening for the voice of the Lord on the inside of you as you're reading it. You'd be surprised how much you'll hear God clearer. You'll hear the voice of the Lord clearly if you'll slow down in your reading. Read the word real slow. Sometimes certain words will just leap off the page at you, and they're just filled with, you got to unpack this, you got to go deeper, you got to cross-reference this, you need to look at this, and God will just take you as deep as you possibly can go. But we do have some roadblocks to hearing the voice of the Lord. One of those roadblocks to hearing the voice of the Lord is that we become too familiar with a text. And I notice that in church, if I have a familiar text, let's say I'm going to preach on the parable of the prodigal son. Everybody's heard the parable of the prodigal son. Immediately, in many people's hearts, they kind of go, I've already heard this. So faith can't come, because faith comes by hearing. But you say, I've already heard. I already know this. And sometimes, have you ever noticed when you come to certain parts of the Bible that you're very familiar with that you kind of just want to skip over real quick and jump on down to another section maybe you're not so familiar with? That's the wrong thing to do, because even though something is familiar, you've got to realize God wants to speak something fresh in you with the voice of God through that familiar word to you. Amen. Too familiar. Sometimes, because we think, well, I've already heard this. And it's difficult to hear God. Another roadblock to hearing the voice of God is not mixing the word that you hear with faith action, with faith. When I say faith, I need to make sure I'm clarifying what's expected of us. Faith means trust. Some say the acronym is forsaking all, I trust him. You could say that. But faith is an active word. Faith is not passive. If I'm trusting God for something, then I'm hearing the voice of the Lord, and it's going to cause two reactions out of my life. One, I will speak what he's saying out of my mouth. Number two, some kind of action will be required of me. If I hear the voice of the Lord, faith will come to me, but now faith from me has to be by my words. I agree with God. I don't negate what God tells me by negative words. I speak what God says. If God says I'm healed, I agree with God. I say that I am healed, even though there may not be a manifestation, but I agree with God. And then I take some kind of action, corresponding action with what I'm saying. You see, when faith is never passive. We can all sit here tonight in our comfortable seats and say, I have faith. But faith is active. Faith speaks, faith moves. Prove it to me. Okay, thanks, I will. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Look at this. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest remains, God's rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it. Resting in the Lord is trusting in the Lord. It's faith in the Lord. For the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, Israel, that died in the wilderness, short of getting into the promised land. But the word preached did not profit, benefit them, because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed have entered his rest. Rest. I love that word. It's probably my most favorite word in the Bible. And I take it to mean that we can enter into faith. Faith rests in God, but it doesn't mean like lying in a lounge chair. This is an active word. Faith is action. So when I say, when God says rest, to me, I take it means to, I have the ability to resist everything that Satan throws at me. You know, the Bible says that he throws fiery darts at us in Ephesians 6. So when I'm resting in God, I'm able to resist everything Satan throws at me because I have the shield of faith. Doesn't stick. He may harass me. He may try to rattle me, but I enter God's rest. And see, God intended for the people of Israel, when they got into the promised land, to rest. It didn't mean they were never going to have any troubles again, because who was in the promised land? Enemies that were greater and mightier and had weapons that they didn't have. So God never intended the promised land, which is here in this life, we call it abundant living. God never intended for us to rest and not have to do anything. He intended for us to have to fight. We have an enemy. God's enemy is our enemy. We have adversaries. So we have Satan, who's always throwing these fiery darts at us, and we can rest, we can trust God, and we can enter a level of faith that the people of the world will just admire us and say, wow, how are you able to do this? And they ask us of the hope that lies within us, and we can tell them about Jesus. But the point is that if you don't mix your faith, if you don't mix faith, what you're hearing God tell you with action and take steps to go forward, then it's possible that you could sit under the anointed preaching of the word, you could read the anointed Bible, you could hear the word and have it taught to you by anointed teachers, and it's possible that it never profits you. I mean, they had Moses who saw God in a burning bush, and they had Moses who met with God on a mountain and his face was ablaze with the glory of God. They had Moses, and yet that whole group never entered the promised land. Wow, that's scary. So the point is, it's possible for people to hear, having heard, but not keep on hearing. That's the danger. You don't want to become a person who, well, we heard that. No, what are you hearing? That was past. You don't live off of yesterday's manna. There's daily bread. What is the Spirit of God saying to you today, while it's today? Not yesterday's bread. Now, I feed on things that God gives me from the Word, and I sometimes feed on it for months, but each time I'm feeding on it, it's like I'm going to it anew, afresh. It's never the Word of God. Truth never gets stale. Truth never ages. Truth never ages. The Word of God doesn't age. So here's a people that they heard, but they didn't keep on hearing. They were trying to live off yesterday's experiences. The danger of an older congregation is that we've had revival in our lifetime. We've had experiences with God, and we had wonderful encounters with God in our lifetime. But you're not meant to live off of them today. You review them and you talk about them and you give testimonies about them, and those are great, but you have fresh new experiences waiting for you. Either we really believe the best is yet to come, or if it's not, then let's just pack up and go home. There's new experiences, new encounters. So what do we have to do? We can't live off of what we heard. We have to be hearing. What is the Spirit of the Lord saying to me today? And faith comes by hearing, not having heard. You need fresh faith for today. You'll need fresh faith for tomorrow. So you have to keep hearing what the Spirit is saying to you. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
So faith is what causes you to rest. Faith is what leads you to be able to rest in God. Again, that's not passive. That's an active. The children of Israel, the generation that died in the wilderness, the younger generation that came up with Joshua, they crossed over into the promised land, but they still had to fight for their inheritance. Listen to me. Your inheritance is not going to heaven when you die. That's a benefit of salvation. Your inheritance is now, because Jesus has already died to give you abundant life now. You're to walk in victory now in this life. There's no fight when you get to heaven. But Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy your inheritance now that Jesus died to give you. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. The life of God to the full. Now, miracles, signs, and wonders. Nothing's impossible for God. If you can believe, all things are possible, Jesus said. That's all it's lacking. All it's lacking is your faith that will resist everything Satan throws at you and tells you, no, you can't have that. You have to resist. And so Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy your inheritance. Just like Israel had to go into the promised land, but they still had to fight. They had to fight for every inch of ground that God said, see, I've already given it to you. God didn't take away the enemies. Why do you think the New Testament says you have to fight the good fight of faith? You have to fight to stay in faith. You have to fight to keep believing God. You have to fight to keep trusting God. Amen. The devil didn't lay down and die whenever you got saved. That's when he rose up. And he said, now I've got to stop him and her at any cost. I'll harass them as long as day they live. I'll bombard them with discouragement and depression. I'll try to afflict them physically with sickness, illness, and disease. I'll attack them every way I can so that they'll finally throw this faith stuff out and quit on God. But look at you. You're still here. You're still here. And the devil had a few times in your life and in mine for a few times, he thought, I got him. He's listening to our words. We got depressed. We got discouraged. We were about to throw in the towel. We were going to walk away from this. We were saying, it doesn't work for me. I don't know why. Rich, it works for other people, but it doesn't work for me. And we started to walk away from faith in God. Can I get a witness from anybody who's ever been there? Why are you still here? Because God is faithful. Even when we're not. God is strong. Even when we're weak. You're here because God didn't give up on you. He that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. It wasn't your perseverance. It wasn't your diligence. It wasn't you being faithful. And it was God being faithful. He started something in you. He will finish it. Now he wants your cooperation because he wants you to enter into the promised land of inheritance now. He didn't want you to get to heaven and say, now look, this is what I really had planned for you. And if you had just let me lead you, you could have had all of this. The Bible says that God wipes away all tears in heaven. There are tears in heaven. He wipes them away, but there are tears. I don't know for sure, but it's quite possibly there's regret. Like, wow, why didn't I give it all when I had opportunity? Why didn't I believe God all the way? Why didn't I press in? Why did I quit too soon? Why did I give up so easily? So the point is, the reason this one group died short of the inheritance that God had for them was because they didn't keep on hearing. Just like you have to keep on hearing, and I have to keep on hearing the voice of the Lord. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Present tense, today. Hearing the voice of the Lord is the most important thing in your life, period. Period. Hearing the voice of the Lord is the most important thing in your life. I really believe that. It is to me. King Solomon became king after his father David was stepping down from the throne, and God told him that Solomon, his son, would become king. And so when King Solomon became the king of Israel, he was a young man. What was his number one request from God? When God said, you can ask me anything you want and I'll give it to you. Wow, what an opportunity. Now just ask me for whatever. What is that one request you want? What do you say? I hear you all say wisdom. And that's correct, but it's not correct. And it's not your fault for saying wisdom. He said in 1 Kings 3:9, give your servant an understanding, or we would say a wisdom heart. And actually that word has been mistranslated in many Bibles. The word understanding actually in the original Hebrew is the same as the word sama, which means hearing. So Solomon was actually asking God, give me a hearing heart. If I can hear you, I know I won't make a mistake. I must hear God. Do you see why I'm saying to you that the most important thing in your life is for you to hear the voice of the Lord? The wisest man in all the world said, God, the number one thing I want from you above riches, above fame, above whatever desire I could possibly have, is I want a hearing heart. I want a heart that recognizes the voice of the Lord. Are you listening? That was the word, sama. It's interesting that the first scripture that Jewish people in Orthodox Judaism, the first scriptures that they're taught to memorize as a child is called the Shema, or Shema, some people say. And it's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and there's two other places it's used. It has a little bit more words in it. And the word Shema, or Shema, actually is taken from the first word, hear. Hear, O Israel. And the word hear there is the same word that King Solomon was asking God to give him. Give me a hearing heart. And the first word that young Jewish kids are taught to memorize is this scripture, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Hear. It starts off with hear. Hearing God is the most important thing for us on earth. Hearing God. And yet we have roadblocks that are hindering us from hearing God. I've already mentioned one. One was you become too familiar with what you've heard. Number two, a roadblock is not mixing what you hear with faith. You heard the voice of the Lord, now mix it with faith and require some action on your part and requires you to speak the same things. Number three roadblock to hearing the voice of the Lord is ignoring or not obeying quickly the voice, what the voice of the Lord is speaking to you. I can't stress this enough. Not responding quickly. The voice of the Lord says something to you, and you know he's requiring some action of you, and you put it off. You say, well, nah, I don't know if I want to do that. I see this happen a lot, even in church where someone gets born again and they receive the Lord, and then I tell them, you know, the first thing that God tells you to do as a believer, the very first thing he tells new believers to do is you ought to be baptized in water. And 9 times out of 10, they'll say, well, I'll think about that. Now, this is the first thing he tells you to do after you say you're going to follow him and you say he's the Lord of your life. And they want to argue with God about, I don't know if I want to do that. Let me tell you what happens. When you hear the voice of the Lord speak to you and you are to respond by giving some kind of corresponding faith action, if you put that off, what happens is that you begin to diminish your ability to hear him better the next time. For example, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, the voice of the Lord. You need to apologize to your spouse. You were curt. You were rude. You shouldn't have said that. And you hear the voice of the Lord in your heart. You know, I shouldn't have said that. And then what happens? Well, maybe you don't respond right away to them. You don't go to them and say, you know, honey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. You just know you're going to let them stew for a while and you're going to stew for a while. And so the Holy Spirit brings this to your mind again, maybe sometime during the day, maybe several times. Well, you need to apologize. You need to put an end to this. You need to put this fire out before it turns into a bigger fire. You need to act on this. But the Holy Spirit will never force you to do what he's leading you to do. Amen. He doesn't force you. But the longer you ignore him or put him off in your hearing, it diminishes your ability to hear him next time. You become harder of hearing. You develop a callus on your heart because you're not responding. You're not being sensitive. And so if you're not sensitive, you're developing a callus. Boy, I'm messing with people right now, I can tell. You're thinking about that last thing that God told you to do and you haven't done it yet. Well, you need to get busy and do it. And you need to apologize.
Pastor, I want to say something.
Let me give you a microphone, Joe. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say something. The other night I told my wife, God, man, you just disgusting. Disgusting. That affected her. As I've been using that word all my life. Man, she Googled that word. When she read to me what all that stuff meant, Pastor, I broke down. I said, I'm sorry, honey. I'll never use that word again. If anybody ever looked up that word, look it up and see what disgusting means. And you stop using that word. I was ashamed, Pastor. I really was ashamed. It beat me down. I said, I've been using that word all my life, and I didn't know what it meant. Wow. And we use a lot of words. We don't know what they mean. So we have to be careful.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for that's a good testimony, brother. And you heard the voice of the Lord, and you responded. And guess what? It won't be difficult to hear God the next time. Sure.
I was listening to one of Billy Graham's sermons today before I came in here.
Okay.
And he was talking about the word fool.
Fool?
Yeah.
And I had never noticed in the Bible where it talks about the implications of using that word, first of all.
Right.
Calling somebody that. And it's in the Bible, and I've never seen it, so I've got to look it up. I didn't have time tonight.
Right.
But that kind of shocked me because I'm like, what else am I missing, you know?
Well, our words are powerful. You know, God says life and death is in the power of the tongue. The question is, do we really believe that?
Yeah, I believe it.
They can. Words can really help somebody and bring life to them, encouragement to them. But words can really hurt deeply, too. You know, like Joe said, you know, that word, he didn't know, even know what it meant, but he just said it and out of habit and... It hurt Lee, and she said, that hurts me. And so words can hurt. So God says life and death in the power of the tongue. So it's very important that we quickly obey the voice of the Lord. God's not speaking just to talk. He's not a chatterbox. When he says something and he tells us especially to do something, go apologize to so-and-so. Do it quickly. Because if you don't, that little campfire turns into a forest fire. I'm sad to say that Pam and I have had spats sometimes with one another, and she's not here tonight because we didn't have a spat, so don't think that. I mean, we didn't have a spat, you know. At least I don't think I did. But no, she just can't walk on that knee that much right now. But we've had times where I get stubborn, she gets stubborn, and I'm not going to make up. I ain't going to talk. She ain't going to talk. And... that's pitiful, and it's 10 times pitiful when you're spiritual leaders of a church. But we've had those times, and it's sad to say that's pitiful. And the longer you let something go, come on, you know what? The worse it gets. The worse it gets. We went to a marriage conference one time, and I'm running out of time. I can't tell you about all that. I'll tell you about that another time. Another roadblock to hearing the voice of the Lord is a strife environment. When you're in an environment where there's stress, there's meanness, there's hatred, there's strife, that affects not only your mind, but it affects your body. It affects your body. You get physically sick because you live in a strife environment. And when you're in a strife environment, God... either wants you to take a stand and stand up and speak, or he wants you to leave. It's one or the other. And the key is to hear the voice of the Lord. our time at the previous church over 20 years ago, the trouble arose within the church from my assistant pastor and a group of people, and it started getting worse and worse, and it started to grow, and it got larger and larger and ugly. And I thought at first, I'm supposed to take a stand. We have won a victory of freedom. We brought freedom into this church. And by golly, I'm not going to be run off, and I'm going to take a stand. And I had people with me, and we're going to take a stand. We're going to fight. That was my full intention. We're going to fight for the freedom. But the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Lord, came to me through my friends and told me, don't fight and divide the church. Let them have the baby. Walk away. And that's not what I wanted to hear. But I heard the voice of the Lord. And let me tell you, when you hear the voice of the Lord and you obey the voice of the Lord, you won't make a mistake. But if you hear the voice of the Lord and you continue on your own stubborn way, you'll have a mess on your hands. And God may let you just live in it for a while and humble you. So here's the bottom line. If you listen to what the Spirit is saying, you won't make a mistake. The Holy Spirit speaks. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to you. I can't tell you what the Spirit's saying to you. I can only tell you what the Spirit's saying to me. Amen? Let's stand together. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the voice of the Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, as we go out, may our spiritual ears be attuned to you. And hearing the voice of the Lord is the greatest thing in our life, Lord. It just makes us come alive. And as we hear you, help us be quick to obey you and enter into your rest, the ability to resist everything Satan throws at us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. See you Sunday.